We're back to Neil Haley's show on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program. And we're going to talk about Baby Blue, Shaquita Smith. Shaquita, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing awesome. Let's talk about first. Take us back. Did you always want to be involved in acting and entertainment? Was that something you wanted to do growing up?
Yes, most definitely. I started when I was a little girl. I actually snuck into a high school class. I was a freshman. And I've been on that journey ever since as an actor. So it's pretty good.
And that journey is always a process, right? The next story, where are we going next in acting? When did you know that I'm going to make this a career? Because at first we get involved in it and we think, hey, you know, this is something I'm doing, but I'm doing something else. When did it kind of say, okay, I'm going to make this a career?
Honestly, in high school, actually. I was in theater classes. I went to some high school competitions, and I just really, really loved it. And I think really when I was a senior in high school, I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And ever since then, I went to college full scholarship in theater. And then after that, I moved to Atlanta. And I really, really, really got it professionally when it came to film back in 2000. I would have to say 2013, where I really, really, really honed into network projects and independent projects. And I said, you know what? This is a little different. But I just love it. I love everything about it.
And that's, you say it's there. So tell us about, what would you consider your big break in this industry?
My big break. Wow. I love NCIS New Orleans.
Right.
You know, working with, Scott Bakula. I mean, he's so iconic.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to interview him. That's on my list because of just my favorite show. So that he was in. So yeah.
I would say iconically, I love, that was my first role really playing alongside someone of that magnitude. It's just phenomenal. And Baby Blue, I love Baby Blue. Firstly, really, really hone into a network and have something that I can really speak about. So those two projects I really love.
All right. Let's go right to it and break down the experience. Tell us about Baby Blue, first of all. Like, what's the premise of it?
Yeah. So basically, Baby Blue is about a first-time mother that is dealing with postpartum depression. And
oh, wow.
It taps us into this world where she's spiraling out of control. And this film is really, really, really important to women that are dealing with postpartum depression or is thinking about having a child. So yeah, that's what the film's about.
Wow, and that's really a hard topic to look at because especially once a woman already has the baby, everyone has the blues, but it can get far worse than that. You know,
it can, yeah.
And how do you make sure as a family this doesn't happen? And this film seems like that's going to bring to light how there's warning signs and yet people still don't want to look at the mental health concerns of these things. Like you're talking about postpartum depression, you talk about PTSD, you talk about specific anxiety, panic attacks. The problem is we have not as a society figured out how to have the right resources available to help people and not make them feel like they're nothing and less than and not tough, right?
All right. And here's the thing, you know, postpartum depression, women go through it, and it's normal. But what we've learned is that a lot of women feel like they're weak, they're broken, that, you know, they're ashamed. And even with this particular film, you know, I'm playing a woman that is a TV journalist who has everything put together. She feels perfect. But when she has this particular, you know, when she has this child, it is now in that space of her feeling like, now I don't have everything in my life together. Everything is not perfect. And that's where, you know, the struggle, the vulnerability and so many complex of your emotions come out, or she speaks out.
Yeah, no, that's that it's it, you're so right about that. Now, tell me about your character first of all, then I want to get involved in how Kim Fields is involved in this. Okay?
Yeah, definitely. But like I said, with Ebony Tate, like I said, she is, a TV journalist who handles all of these, these. She's amazing. She's beautiful. She's talented, and she just want to be a great mother. But in the end, she's looking for that validation of her wanting to be a great mother. And handling that, we see that through the lens, of Kim Fields.
And what was reason Kim wanted to bring this to light?
She wanted to bring this to life because this particular story or this topic doesn't get told in the media.
Right,
You
it
know,
doesn't.
we see so, we hear about it, we know about it, but there's never a film or we don't know of a particular project where it show a woman going through mental illness of this magnitude, and how does this person get out of it? How does this person manage it? What does it look like? And she also wanted to show how real it is and how authentic it can be.
And that's an important part of it. So when can people check this out? When is it going to be on?
Yeah, definitely. You can check this film out July 25th at 9 p.m. on BET Her.
That's great. And how excited are you to be able to tune in? Are you going to be live tweeting? Are you going to be doing anything special for when
Yes,
it?
yes, yes. I will be live tweeting on BET. I will be speaking, doing little speaking engagements as well beforehand. So I'm really, really excited. One, I'm gonna give you a little secret. I've never been a mother, so this is beautiful to watch, to see me embody a role that expresses Ebony to her full potential. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see it because I haven't seen it yet, and I want to see
See, that's the great
how
thing.
I feel.
Yeah. And you'll get to see it. Are you again having a little party with your family to watch this?
Yes, I am. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, so I'll be going down there with my family so we all can watch it together.
Wow. And it's funny, my one co-host was supposed to jump on to interview with you, and he lives in Alabama. So interesting kind of connections in all those ways. But it's tremendous what you're doing. And I think the one thing I was reading up that I didn't ask, you guys filmed this during the pandemic. I thought that's not
Oh
that
my
can't
God.
that can't that can't be done. Tell us about that. I'm interested in hearing that. Yeah, I think everyone needs to hear that because I'm really concerned as a binge watcher what the heck I'm going to do now. When there's no new shows, right? Am I going to go back that 3 years or I'm going to go back and say, is there really something on Netflix? Or I guess I'm going to have to go look at all my people I've interviewed and go back and watch their old stuff. Like Eric Roberts was cracking me up today. He's like, tell him about movies I've never seen. Well, maybe I have to go watch them. All right, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, of course. And that's one of the biggest concerns for anybody in the entertainment industry,
Well,
especially when
hey,
you're
I
shooting so
trust
much.
me. Yeah, I understand.
But I know SAG, Screen Actors Guild, they're always looking at, ways to make sure that we are all protected by any means necessary, and also production. And so there are rules and regulations that in place. You have to be quarantined for 14 days. You have to make sure that you wear your mask at all times. There is, someone taking temperature checks every single time that you go on set. There is, when you're getting your makeup done, the makeup artist is having on masks. So it's like they are really making sure that they're very careful, and that everybody that steps a foot on set has been checked for COVID-19, and that they are not. That they have it, and so that makes me feel really, really good, really, really great. And then also to where you're staying on set. Are you having a actual place, or like those logistics are on, the rules and regulations, especially when you're in production. So and I think that's going to be the new norm you know, until we get a vaccine for this COVID-19, you know, I mean, yeah, COVID.
Exactly.
Going forward, you know? So it's like, I would rather be safe than sorry. And I know a lot of actors currently right now is itching to, you know, be on set. And if we can find a great
alternative
safe way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Where was this film? Where did you guys film this?
Yeah. So we shot in Maryland, Washington. Yeah. Maryland as well. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We did. Maryland.
Yeah. So if the athletes can do it, why can't you? And LA is the biggest thing keeping everything stop, because LA is not going to allow anything, right? That's what you're hearing, right? So it's like other projects, other places. So there are places still doing production. It just California is pretty much shut down to do any acting. Is that correct? Is that what you've been hearing?
Right. Yeah, I've heard, but there is also, like I said, they're quarantining, you know, at least 2 weeks prior. I know Tyler Perry. I have a good friend of mine who is on a Tyler Perry project, who's series regular, and Tyler Perry is having them quarantine for at least 5 or 6 days before they shoot. But they're quarantining at the studio.
But see, so Tyler Perry's choosing to do it, as other people are choosing to do it. But then I've been hearing from my LA friends, they're not even doing anything in LA. So maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was saying. Okay. You slow down production of bigger shows, not bigger shows, but bigger productions of the big networks that are shooting in New York and LA. That kind of throws a different monkey wrench into people in auditions, agents, everything. And so that's going to be that's my concern. Like certain shows like Stranger Things, I heard is not going to be filmed till like, shot to like 2021 these are things just making me like, oh, I gotta become creative in picking my next binge. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question real quick. What are you binging right now?
I am binging, oh my god, you're gonna kill me, I've been watching Daredevil, even though I know Daredevil has been out forever.
Okay,
but I don't think I've ever that I've ever watched it back, I think it's 2018. So I watched all of the season and I got so hooked. I got so hooked with the acting, with everything. So Daredevil, I mean, Ozark, obviously.
Oh, I love Ozark. Oh my gosh. Season two was, season three was better than the other two seasons. That's my take on Ozark.
You think so?
Oh my gosh, the way it finished off, and I heard now they're gonna only make it like a real short thing and that's it, and then they're done. Did you hear about that too?
Wow,
yeah, see, look at me, I'm not trying to be this entertaining people, but I just hear these, I read these things on Facebook or different, you know. But no, I thought the season three was awesome. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Like, I was disappointed with like Glow season three. I didn't like, I like season one and two of Glow. I don't know if you've ever watched Glow.
No, I haven't watched that. I have to double check that too.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
but I one of the so I was blown. I liked Ozark. I just finished up season two of Hannah on Amazon, and that's really good.
That's really good.
Too. Yeah. See, I do all my social media work and all my client work at night, binge watching. So I binge watched The Sopranos for the first time just last year. And I was able to have some really big stars on after that, and then telling them about The Sopranos, they laugh at me. You just watched The Sopranos? So I don't know if you ever watched The Sopranos, but it's one of the biggest binge-watching shows in the pandemic, building all these new fans. It's crazy. No, I'll have to watch Daredevil. I'm got to finish up Bosch now, because I was watching a little bit of it and then got kind of preoccupied and then jumped to other shows, and now I got to go back to Bosch. Season four of for 13 Reasons Why was really interesting as well. I had one of the newer characters on my show, and I loved him. He was a great guy, and I had to go watch it. So that's the other thing that keeps me going, is I might watch it if I've interviewed somebody in it, you know. So I'll have to. So how do you? So to keep up with BET, because I've had a bunch of different stars on BET. Let me be the promoter for BET as we're going to say goodbye. Now, how do we catch up with certain shows on BET? Where do we go?
Well, yeah, so you can, they have an app as well. You'll figure they created an app a year ago, and it's BET Plus. So you can, you know, actually go on your phone if you, you know, have the applications to download it. And then you can also, they have two networks, which is BET and then BET Her. So if you can go on those, you can actually find any of the projects and be happy to watch it, you know. And I'm a Netflix bluff too, so I know you started talking about
Amazon. You know, I like Netflix. Amazon too, but you got to talk about all these things because you never know when you're going to get that pickup and you're going to get an audition to one of these big shows, right? Or never another big opportunity. Now, I interviewed Kim. Exactly. Kim is a sweetheart. I had her on my show about 3 or 4 years ago. I think about a book or something. How'd you like working with her? Did you enjoy that? Oh,
yeah, she's so sweet. She's really artistic, you know. She has such a beautiful vision. And one thing that she told me before we actually start shooting, she said, "Trust me, I will not steer you wrong." And before we shot, I said, "You know what? I'm going to trust you." Because sometimes actors are like, "Oh, okay, well, I have my vision. I got this. I want to do this." But, you know, when she said that, I said, "You know what? I'm going to trust you." And, you know, right now, I mean, it's such beautiful. I trusted her every single way, especially, you know, me not being a woman that, you know, have been... have had a child, you know, from this particular story, and knowing what the levels are, she really, really, really directed so well, and I'm grateful. And now, you know, we're friends.
And that's the fun thing, is the opportunities and all those different things. And it's great. Where can we connect with you? Best place, social media, follow you, all that. Where can we go?
Exactly.
No, and, for you. Where can we hit you up social media? Where can we hit you up social media wise?
Oh, yeah. You can hit me up on Shaquita _official on Instagram.
Okay. So you're an Instagram person. Why not Twitter?
I am.
I haven't
gotten into Twitter. I don't know. But I am now since this film, Baby Blue, is airing, and they're saying, "Oh, we got a live tweet." So I'm slowly but surely trying to find a niche in the Twitter world.
You got to, because that's the best, because that's immediate gratification. Instagram's too controlled by Facebook. Remember that. Twitter, you really can connect with your fans and have conversations. Instagram, in my opinion, again, limits your audience. Twitter doesn't. That's my tip for the day.
Oh, thank you for letting me know that. I'm gonna get more involved in Twitter. I just haven't figured it out yet, and I'm like,
guess they're gonna look at your followers, your engagement on Twitter more likely than Instagram, I think, for other auditioning opportunities, because that's what this industry's become. It's not just the most talent. Do you bring a fan audience right to them, and then we're gonna use you in this project? And especially when in the COVID world, we got to try and learn. One more thing, and I love this conversation because I never get a chance to always ask every question because I have a lot of co-hosts. My last question for you today would be, what did you learn from the pandemic so far? We know we're not done yet. What did you learn? Yeah.
You know what I learned?
Okay.
To stop stressing.
Okay. That's...
I learned to stop stressing, stop worrying, and to really be grateful for where you are. I think a lot of times we are rushing so much. Like, I feel like the world is so fast. We're doing things every single day. But during the pandemic, you had a chance to really stop and be still and really admire the things that's around you. And I got a chance to do things that I probably wouldn't have a chance to do. Skin regimens and face mask and, you know, reading a book and, you know, writing more scripts. And so it gave me a chance to really understand who I am and stop to think about, you know, things that I truly love, you know. And those are the things that I learned to continually to self-value, you know, self-love myself, you know, continually to do that.
And that's, we all learn from different things. So I appreciate you stopping by, and best of luck, and continue to have fun binge watching, so that when they ask you questions about certain shows, you'll be like, "Oh yeah, that show's cool. I could be a character on that." That's going to be the whole process. Research, 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 and enjoy yourself. And and you're welcome to come back next project. Okay. Sound good?
Sounds good. Thank you, Neil.
Take care. Okay. Bye-bye. You listen to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.